Our pericope of Scripture for this evening and a month from now when I hope to be back with you again is 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17. Sorry, I don't have an outline for you. And you make an email and you attach the sermon outline to it, you have to push the send button afterwards. One of these days, I guess this old man's going to learn that. But so, 1 Kings 17, the first 16 verses. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not. Go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until that day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. And it's verse 16 that is my text then. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of God, which he spake by Elijah. May God prosper the reading and the preaching of his word. Go, the Lord says. Go. And Elijah went. First of all, go there to the brook Cherith. That would be down in Judah. So he's going to leave the territory of the ten tribes, Israel, where Ahab was a king, and he's going to go down to Judah. And the brook, we read in verse 7, dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Why is God, who does miracles, just not provide water from a rock as he did to the Israelites in the wilderness? Or, why didn't God feed him water out of a jawbone of a donkey as he did Samson? No, God has his way. And so he says, go to the brook Kereth. And as an obedient servant of the Lord, in fact, Elijah is the type of the servant of the Lord, the obedient servant of the Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ. And what do we say? The Lord keeps in perfect peace the one whose mind is stayed on him. Just a little bit in the morning, a little bit at night, daily, Elijah had to trust on God's providence. And he's to trust in God, not first of all his gifts. So day by day, those greedy birds are made by the Lord to bring flesh and meat. And as the days went on, drinking from the brook until the brook dried up. Now what? I would think that Elijah, whom we read in the book of James, is a man of like passions with us, must have been getting a little bit worried toward the end. He sees that brook dwindling until probably it dried up. He's digging down there in the bottom of the thing, hoping that he can reach some water yet. How is the Lord going to take care of me? He went there to the brook Kereth because the Lord told him to go there, and there the ravens will feed you. There. We can learn something just on that. In the way of obedience, we receive and taste God's goodness to us. He had to go there to the brook Kereth. That's where the Lord would feed him. And you and I will receive and experience God's blessings also in the way of our obedience. Perhaps you live in a difficult marriage and you're tempted to bail out, to leave. You will not receive God's blessing in that way. It's in the way of obedience, for better or for worse, there in that marriage. Or how many families right now are having difficulties amongst themselves? And we're not called to run away from them, but there. In the way of obedience, God gives his blessings. He's there about a year, and the water fails. Now what? Many of us, I think, at that point would have on our own left Kereth to look for other possibilities. But Elijah does not go anywhere until he hears again the word of the Lord, verse 8, coming unto him and telling him what to do. He stays there. How often don't we want to act on our own feelings instead of on the Word of God? Beautiful, unquestioning obedience. First of all, down to Kereth, and for a year, he lives there in this wilderness in isolation. I think if I were there in that lonely place, I think that this is for the birds. The ravens, of course. What a lonely place. But he obeys. Now, the word of the Lord comes to him again and says, go to Zarephath. Zarephath is going to be the place where the Lord provides again for him with a little meal in a barrel and a little oil in the cruse. I want you to notice three things. First of all, we have a significant sign here. And when he is told to go to Zarephath, a significant sign. Second of all, a severe test. And then thirdly, a great and glorious provision. A provision. a significant sign. He must have been happy to hear the word of the Lord again after that brook dried up and he's sitting there. But now, what does the Lord say? Go to Zarephath. Do you know your Bible geography well enough? Do you know where that is? The prophet is called, the first time to go down to Kereth, the brook Kereth, he's called to go to Judah. Okay, it's still God's people. But now he is called to go to Zarephath, that is in Phoenicia, or what is today Lebanon. It was part of the territory that Asher was given, but never really took over. Moreover, that is the land of the enemy. This is the land where Ethbaal is king. Now, who is Ethbaal? He is the father of wicked Jezebel. He is called to go to the territory where Baal is the god. How awful. How awful that must have been to think of that. I have to leave again my people, Israel, and now I have to go to a foreign land of enemies. Go. And he went to Zarephath. In that way, I want you to see he's kind of like Jonah the prophet about 100 years later. Both of these prophets have to leave what is a rather apostate church and go to their enemies. Right now, at this particular time, Ahab and Jezebel rule the land. They have killed many prophets of God. They are seeking the life of Elijah also, worshiping Baal, apostate. And later on, Jonah also is called away from apostate Israel to go over a faraway place, Nineveh. Again, the capital of their enemies. And they go to these people, and there they find faith amongst the Gentiles. And about the significance of this, there can be no doubt. I say that because Jesus uses this very incident when he preaches to his hometown at Nazareth. If you've got your Bibles handy, I'm sure you've got your Bibles handy, but if you open them, Luke 4. Jesus draws attention to this very account. Thinking about verse 24, 25. You'll notice there earlier, he's preaching from Isaiah chapter 61. You find that from verse 18 and following. And he says, today the scripture is fulfilled in your ears. And they wonder at the gracious words that came out of his mouth. But then notice what they say. Isn't this Joseph's son, the carpenter? And he said unto them, ye will surely say unto me this proverb, physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country. And he said, verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you of a truth. Many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Zarephath, a city in Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. You remember that story? Jesus, from Isaiah chapter 61, is saying, this is the acceptable year of the Lord. And when he preaches from Isaiah 61 about the Lord healing the brokenhearted and preaching to the poor, they reject him. They say to Jesus, you want to preach to the poor? Well, we're not poor. You want to heal the brokenhearted? Well, there's no brokenhearted here in Nazareth. You want to give sight to the blind? We're not blind. Physician, heal yourself. And then they come finally, we don't want to hear your preaching. We want to see your signs. Do the signs that you did in Capernaum and then we'll believe in you. Always, as we read in Scripture, always a wicked and adulterous generation seek a sign. And always the same sign is given unto them, a sign that has been given more than once in the past, but they're too blind to see it. What is that sign? The Lord interprets for them what was fulfilled with the kingdom of God was taken away through His death and through His resurrection. He's looking ahead. No prophet is accepted in his own country. Didn't they know that Elijah was sent away from Israel because of their sins to that widow? Didn't they know that Jonah was sent away from an adulterous church up there to Nineveh? Yes. And why was Elijah sent away? Why was Jonah sent away? Why is Jesus finally saying this here? Were there no poor widows in Israel at that time that Elijah could have eaten with? And I'm sure there were plenty of desperate widows in the land of Israel. But his departure from Israel was a threat to Israel. You don't want to hear the word of God, then I'm going to take the word of God away from you. You don't like my prophet that I send to you? I'm going to send that prophet away. The word of God was removed from them. Not only it was Elijah that leaves, but Elijah as the prophet of God leaves. There would be no word of God any longer in the northern 10 tribes. Remember, there were 100 prophets that were hid by Obadiah, King Ahab's servant, so they're not speaking any longer. Now Elijah is also taken away. No word of the Lord. You see, the physical famine in Israel is only a picture of the spiritual famine that was going to come. You don't want my prophet, you don't want my word, I'll take them and I'll bring it somewhere else. How they needed that word of God. How they needed that word of God to open up the heavens and to send rain. How they needed that word of God about God's covenant, of God's fellowship, of God's love. Through the shed blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. And it's taken away. A departure of the Word of God. What a threatening sign that is for apostate Israel. A sign that how Israel's house would be desolate. That they were rejected by the Lord. That was a sign in Elijah's day. That is going to be a sign later on in Jonah's day. And it's finally a sign when Jesus is there in Nazareth and they will not hear Him because He is Joseph the carpenter's son. It's a word fulfilled by Jesus' death and resurrection. And the gospel went from, first of all, to the Jews, then to Samaria, and then to the ends of the earth. But while that is a threat, it's a sign that is a threat to Israel, what a sign that is of blessing to the Gentiles that knew not God. It's a sign of God's sovereign grace. Sovereign grace that is not bound just to Israel, the church of that time, but God would be merciful to whom He would be merciful. and that he would harden whom he would harden. Look at where he has to go. He has to go up there in the territory of Baal and establish God's church there. What a statement that is to Jezebel. She's trying to get rid of God worship in Israel, and right in her own homeland, God establishes his little church. And what a little church it is. And there's nothing to be ashamed of being a little church. A widow and her son. God's fellowship with her and her son through his word by his prophet. Jesus says there in Luke 4, today is the acceptable day. And let's take this now for ourselves. What sign do we read here? When the church apostatizes, when she has itching ears to hear stories and jokes and things that are comfortable to our flesh, and when they don't want to hear the word of God any longer, God says, okay, I'll take it away. I'll take it away and I'll give it to someone else. Do we not see that today? Even in our denomination. When people are going to church to try to find fault with the minister, and they like to put the Word of God even on Facebook or other places, listen to this sermon at minute such and such. Not that they may hear the Word of God, but, oh, hear this mistake that the minister made in his speech. Or the flaw in his thinking. Are we willing to hear the Word of God and love that Word of God in our hearts? Or do we reject it? Look at our denomination with a shortage of ministers. We're going to be called to a prayer day service later on in this year with a number of older pastors that need to go out to pasture. And their shortage of young ministers to take over. Is the Lord taking his word away from us? Pray. Pray. Father is in the household here. How important is that word of God to you? How important is it for your household? Are you making sure, fathers, that you and your wife are diligently teaching your children the Word of God? Are you going over their catechism lessons with them? Or do you just figure they're going to do it on their own? And then the pastor can come to the catechism room and he finds out the kids don't know anything about the lesson yet. How important is the Word of God? In Israel, they did not want to hear the word of God, and God says, I will take it away, and I will give it to others. What a beautiful sign for the Gentiles, for you and me, that the gospel wasn't just for the Jews, but it's now also for the Gentiles like us. And may it not be true of our churches as it is of many churches in Europe. They used to be full. That's where the Reformation took place. And you can hardly find a remnant of the church left in Europe. And what about in the States? Churches that used to be full and now are rather empty. May God not take his word away from us. May we cherish that word. So that is the significant sign. Notice with me, second of all, the severe test. This is a test for Elijah. That name Zarephath means refining. Boys and girls, to refine means that gold and silver, precious metals, are put through a hot, hot fire to burn the impurities out so that the precious metal becomes even more precious. It's purged. Well, Elijah, the Lord's going to do some purging for you. I want you to go to Zarephath. That is about 100 miles away. That means it's at least 4 or 5 days walking in a land full of famine. He probably took the Jordan River north and then cut across. At least he had water then. But how is he going to be sustained? Go to Zarephath. Go to Zarephath. That is the home country of Baal worship. Leave your people. Leave what's the promised land, what is a picture of heaven. Leave it. And go to Zarephath. And there, I'm going to take care of you, Elijah. How? A rich merchant who has plenty of food on his table could share. I have a widow there. Wow. A widow in those days had a hard time taking care of their own needs. Didn't have a husband to care for them. Obviously, this little boy is too young to take care of a mother. There's all these widows right there in Israel, and yet go to Zarephath, and there a widow is going to take care of me. You see, God is pleased to use weak and what we would say foolish means to accomplish the purpose. So that man doesn't get the glory, but all the glory goes to God. There I will take care of you. It requires unquestioning obedience. And the prophet goes. What a severe test. But if the Lord can make greedy ravens to give up their food to Elijah, the Lord is able to enable widows, starving widows also, to take care of his prophet. But this is also a severe test for this widow lady. Will she trust the word of God? Will she trust the things that are not seen? Or look at the things that are in her hand? Will she seek first the kingdom of God in his righteousness and believe then the promise of God that he'll take care of the rest? Now we read that already the heart of this lady has been made ready. I do not believe that this lady knows that a prophet's going to come and she has to feed him. I don't think that that's what that means at all. It means the heart of this lady is made ready because she knows about this God of Israel. Not her God, but the God of Israel. And you'll find that in the very words that she says when the prophet comes there. She says in verse 12, "As the Lord thy God liveth." What does she know about that God? Well, she knows that God is the God that took his people Israel out of Egypt. Took care of his people for 40 years in the wilderness. Gave them the land of Canaan. And by this time she must have also heard, hey, there's a real famine in that land of Canaan. And it's because the prophet of the Lord spoke some words. So she's made ready. She knows about that God and she knows about the prophet of the Lord who spoke in the Lord's name. And she confesses he's Elijah's God. And she's made ready because in her heart there's something else that she says. As the Lord thy God liveth. She's swearing an oath here in verse 12. She's swearing an oath not in the name of Baal, which was her God, but she's swearing it in the name of Elijah's God that he lives. efficaciously, her heart is made ready so that when she hears the word of God, she'll believe it. And that's true of each one of God's people. That is why in the Ordo Salutis, that means in the order of salvation, the way the Holy Spirit applies salvation to us, regeneration's first. You need a new heart in order to hear the word of God and respond to it. Without that new birth, that new heart, the dead man can't hear a thing. So she is made ready to hear the word of God. Do you know that of yourself? Do you know of your heart being made open and ready so that when you hear the word of God, you fall down on your knees and you worship Him? You love His Savior. You trust in Him alone for your salvation. But now comes the test. She's made ready. Elijah comes in. He doesn't know who this woman is, just that a widow in Zarephath. And we don't even know how large that town was. But he gets to the outside of the city, and there's a woman. And he says, "Give me, I pray thee, a cup of water." Just made a long, long trip. Obviously, he's thirsty. Fetch me a little water. Will she do it? I bet Elijah here is remembering the servant of Abraham, Eliezer. Do you remember that story? Abram wants a son for Isaac, because he's kind of a mama's boy. He can't find his own wife. And so he sends Eliezer to find a wife for him from his own people. How in the world is that poor man going to find a wife for Isaac? Who is the right one? He gets a sign from the Lord. "Lord, the one whom I ask, will you give my camels or my donkeys water? May that be the right woman." And that was Rebecca. And so now Elijah also asked that same kind of question to this woman. He doesn't know anything of the particulars about her yet. "Fetch me, I pray thee, a glass of water." And she's going to go do it. Phoenicia is right there on this, on the Mediterranean Sea. Perhaps the sea level there is higher so that there is still some water in the ground, so it's a little bit easier. Hey, why not get that glass of water for him? She's going to die soon anyhow. I mean, so how much water can you drink? She's going to get the water. And as she's going, "Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread." Wow, okay. Water, yes, but a morsel of bread. "As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake but a handful of meal and a barrel and a little oil and a cruse. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son that we may eat it and die." You're asking now a lot, prophet of God. But she's still going to go do it, because she believes in that Lord God of Elijah. She believes that word of the prophet. Oh, thirdly, bake a cake and bring it to me first. And then you go in and bake one for yourself and your son. Wow. A little bit meal, a little bit oil. Bake a cake, and now I got to trust that there was only enough for the first for them in the first place. And now, what's going to be left for me, for my house? And Elijah said unto her, "Fear not. Go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after, make for thee and for thy son." And then comes the promise, verse 14. "Thus saith the Lord, God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth."
There is a promise. A promise of the God of Elijah. Is this widow going to believe that man's God and the word that he brings? And we read in verse 15, and she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. You see, the promise comes to her, but it comes to her only in the way of her obedience. If she would not have obeyed the word of that prophet and made first a cake for him and then for herself, that meal would not have stayed there and that oil would not have stayed there. It is in the way of obedience she reaps that promise. And we read, she and he and her house did eat many days, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of God. What a test. And she passes it with flying colors by the grace of God, because her heart was made ready, and that heart ready, she trusts in the things that are not seen over against what she looks at, that little pitiful handful of meal and that little bit of oil. Because she embraces that word by faith. This God who did miracles for his people over and over and over through history. And the word of the Lord that now comes to her. She believes it. She believes it by faith. Perhaps you may be asked here, why? Why test her so severely? Was it the kind of selfish of Elijah? Make first a cake for me, I'm taking care of, and then you make one for yourself and for your son. There's a principle involved here. As Jesus spoke that principle, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. Do we believe that? Do you believe it? How do you give in your offerings? Do you give what's left over at the end of the week, or what's left over after the end of the month, after you've taken care of your own food and you've taken care of nice clothes and you've taken care of a nice house and car and you maybe had nice vacations and, oh yeah, we had a pretty good year, the rest I'll give to the Lord? Or do you give as the first fruits? That is, you give liberally, and because you love God's kingdom, you give believing that the Lord will take care of your needs. Are you trying to hide as much money away for your old years so that you can live in comfort as you've lived before? You got to amass up this big amount, millions of dollars, to take care of your old years? Or do you believe that the Lord will take care of you? That doesn't mean that we don't plan. Financial planning. But where's your trust? Is it in things not seen? That is God's hand? Or is it only what you can do and what you have? We stand before that alternative, isn't it? The alternate between the seen and the unseen. The alternate between our word, our thoughts, and God's word, God's thoughts. The things of this world or the things of the kingdom of heaven. We stand between the alternative of things temporal and things eternal. And the Lord Jesus says to you and to me, as to this woman, seek first the kingdom of God. Take care of my prophet first. And here's the promise. You will not fail until the famine is over. There will be meal in the barrel. There'll be oil in the cruse. The test is severe. It is severe for that woman. It's severe for us. Perhaps you say, well, she didn't really have much to lose, did she? So you're going to die, you know? One more day, okay, one day shorter.
Beloved, we who have so much materially, how difficult that is for us to seek first the kingdom and His righteousness, trusting that the Lord will take care of the rest. Are you doing that? Are you doing that in your life? Are you doing that with your tithes, your offerings? Is that the principle that's controlling your finances at home?
Being faithful to God's Word might bring hardship. It usually does. It surely did for the prophets in that day, didn't it? And Elijah is forced to run for his life with the Lord telling him where. Being faithful to God's Word today might mean loneliness, might mean isolation, might mean you're ostracized, maybe even lose your property. Could be that the one church that has left us in Edmonton or is threatening to, wants to, is seeking to get the building. And we know all about that from our history. God says here, seek first my kingdom and my righteousness and the rest will be taken care of. So, a significant sign, a severe test, and now the great and glorious provision. I wonder. She acts in faith, and we read in verse 16, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. The word of God is true. The word of God will not fail you. It won't mislead you. By faith, believe. And that woman and her son that were facing starvation, she was going to eat her last little meal, lived for the next 2 years there during that famine. Well taken care of, while many widows in Israel perished, starved to death. She saw the wonder. Nope, her pantry wasn't all of a sudden full. Mm-mm. Just as Elijah each day had to depend upon the Lord to send the ravens in the morning and in the evening with provisions. Just as Israel in the wilderness had manna for the day and they were to collect only for that day, except if it was on Friday, then they were to collect a double portion also for the Sabbath. But it's day by day. So for this widow and her son, just a little meal in the barrel and a little oil in the cruse. Dependent upon the Lord every day. There's a song like that, isn't there? Day by day, with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my troubles here. Day by day, continued dependence. But while that woman and her son, that little church there in the land of Baal, had a sparse meal for each day, let me tell you, she had a banquet. She had a banquet. Because she had the man of God there who carried the word of God there. And every day she could hear from the mouth of the prophet God's word to her. What a banquet! Do you count it a banquet feast when you come to church? The various pastors in the evening and Professor Heising in the morning. And you go home, you say, I was fed. I was well fed today. Not only did she have that word of God, and notice, even just like the meal and the oil was there just for the day, so the word of God is there for us each day also, right? It's not, okay, I study all these doctrines in order to make confession of faith, and then I can put that book away, and no more doctrine for me. Here I can skate. Okay, we heard a sermon now on Sunday, or two sermons on Sunday, and now during the week, we don't need to read the Bible, you know, we only need to. Next Sunday we'll tank up again, like you get your car filled up for gas. Or do you daily feed on God's Word as this widow and her son fed on God's Word in her house and on that little bit meal and oil? But there's more. For Elijah and for this widow and her son, they had wonderful fellowship together. A church was established there. That means the love and the grace of God that we show to one another as God's people. Oh, how blessed. Remember, Elijah was for a whole year out there in that wilderness with just those birds. And now, day by day, he and this widow could share fellowship, intimate communion together in that home with their little son. What a blessed provision, because this is all of the Lord. When I started this series on 1 Kings in my church, it was because I preached on Lord's Day 10 of the Catechism, which deals with, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and God's providence. And here we see God's providence beautifully. He takes care of His prophet in Kereth, at the brook Kereth, and he now takes care of this widow and her son and the prophet in Zarephath. And they could say, the Lord's good. But you know, I want to come back again at the end of October, and we're going to continue to look at the Lord's providence in Zarephath, because God's providence isn't always so delightful. Sometimes God's providence is very hurtful. Affliction and sorrow. But God works it all for good. A test for faith. Will you believe my word? Do you believe that He gives us all good things and averts all evil, or turns it to our profit? Oh, that lovely little home. But let me say more, because I'm always starting. What does that little meal in a barrel and that little oil, which fed that household every day, what does that say to us? And I want to go from the type to the antitype. What is that meal where you make bread a picture of? Isn't it a picture of Jesus Christ who says, I am the bread of life? That grain of wheat that has to get planted in the ground, like the Lord Jesus was planted in the ground. He died in order that there could be a rich fruit. Think of how many kernels come from one little kernel of wheat. Christ is the first fruits. Think of that kernel of wheat as it's plucked and is put there between the two grinding stones, ground down. Oh, isn't that a picture of our Lord Jesus? Where He is forsaken by His Father and He's hated and rejected by man on the cross. Jesus is the bread of life. And He came to Nazareth, to His own city, and they received Him not. No prophet is accepted in his own country. Many widows there in Zarephath, in Israel, but one widow in Zarephath
The meal
is a picture of Christ, the bread of life. But that little family there in Zarephath isn't sustained just by that meal. It's by the meal and the oil. And what is that oil a picture of? Well, you know your scriptures as well as I do. Oil is a picture of the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. You got Psalm 133, where the oil is poured upon Aaron's head and it runs down his beard and it goes all the way down to his garments, and the whole church there is included in that anointing by the Lord, so that we're prophets, priests, and kings. And it is the meal that is Christ Jesus, the bread, and it is the work of the Holy Spirit here that binds us to Him, opens our heart first of all, makes us receptive to the Word, plants that seed of the Word in our hearts so that it grows up and we believe it and we live out of it. And as the meal is undiminished, the supply unabated, it points to Christ Jesus, the nourisher of our souls. So that whether we go through pleasant things or difficult things in our life, we stand upon that rock, Christ Jesus, and we are nourished by Him and by His Spirit and His Word daily. We read in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 10, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed by day and day." Do you see that? I sure do as an old man. As my body gets weaker, and it's going to get weaker down there. May the inner man be strengthened more and more, like the Apostle Paul said as they went out preaching. God's promise here, that the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which He spake by Elijah. And so there is an important principle here again. The word of God will not fail you. All the promises that He has made will be fulfilled. You ask, what should I pray for? Pray God's Word back to Himself. Take His promises. Take them to heart and say, Lord, I believe that promise. All those promises, I believe. And now fulfill that promise. Work in me by Your Spirit. Draw me closer to Christ Jesus, that I live, that He lives in me. Trust that Word, because God is faithful. His Word will not fail. And it is that veracity, it is that unchanging faithfulness, it is that almighty power of God who makes good His Word. That's the foundation on which our faith rests. God said it. I believe it. It will take place. We will be saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. Feed on Him. Feed on Him, my dear flock. Feed on Him daily. Amen. Father in heaven, we delight to hear that story about the word of the Lord coming to that widow and her son in Zarephath. We rejoice in that story because we see our own story, where the gospel went from the Jews who rejected Jesus to the Gentiles like us. We love that story because we see that widow and her son eating every day, provided by Thy hand, feeding not only physically, but also spiritually on Thy Word. And then we look at our own lives. In Thy providence, Thou hast taken care of us physically, and we also believe spiritually. Oh Lord, how we need Christ Jesus. How we need His Spirit and His Word in order to remain spiritually strong in these evil days. Bless us then with the preaching of Thy Word. Strengthen us so that we may go forth now in this coming week again to serve Thee with heart, soul, mind, and strength. Amen.